I supposed to react to that, you know, because if I just say thank you, then that means I'm not humble. But if I don't say enough, then I feel like yeah, I agree with you.
Well, I guess we're taking calls now.
There we go. All right. So the funny thing, and I was throwing this out last hour to start the show, and this is the beautiful part about actually using your brain and thinking ahead what potential storylines can be months down the road instead of just reacting to what else is out there, you know, per se. And the fact that I know that you and I have discussed the big topic today in the NFL world, we discussed it months ago. We were already throwing out the options and, you know, and what was going to be the reaction as far as on social media for those that were against it and why they were against it. But you and I have already delved into this conversation about if you go from 16 regular season games to 18, then what will that mean? What will that mean as far as additional roster spots? What will that mean as far as the preseason, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like we're way ahead of the curve on this one.
Way ahead of the curve. Same thing that we were with Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? Like, I mean, that's why I like it. We're both ahead of it. But you're right.
He will break your heart every time if he's on your team.
We're seeing all these reports come out, you know, about the NFL as a league. You know, they want to push 18 games. And you're right. We've been talking about this for a while. If you just look at the contractual agreements with, you know, the broadcast networks, plus that's an additional, what, 64 games, plus you're going to have to change the basic economic pay scale of the entire league, plus you're going to have to add players on the rosters. I mean, there's so much going on. There's 0% chance that this can happen before the next CBA in, what, 2020, 2021?
Right.
There's so much just litigation alone of just getting the paperwork correct and the dollars. I mean, there's no way that's going to happen. So it's just a threat.
Not in the next 2 years, but after that, different story.
After that, game on. You're exactly right.
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how they're going to get there, because you and I are quite aware. We've talked about this as well. The magic number. They want to get to the magic number of $25 billion in revenue annually. Right now, they're about 60% of the way there. They're not going to get it, not unless they find other creative ways to get there, like, oh, by the way, adding two regular season games, and then you'll be able to increase the TV revenue. Because remember, when we're talking about the TV revenue now, as far as the NFL, more than the other three big leagues combined. So you've got that going on. But immediately when you hear that, if this is the first time you really heard it, that there's some really serious discussions about moving from 6 to 18, especially when you hear the fact that, oh, and by the way, the players are only going to be they're going to be limited to playing in 16 of the 18. Your immediate reaction is go, I don't want it. I already hate it. Bad idea. But here's the thing. First of all, if you're talking, let's just throw out, say this has been implemented now, and you're wanting to see Tom Brady. Well, if you're in the division with the New England Patriots, not unless it's the final week of the year where the games just don't matter and that seeds have been wrapped up, you're going to see Tom Brady in a division game. You're going to see Tom Brady in all the AFC games. Because, first of all, division games more important than any other game. Conference games, as far as in your particular conference, more important than other games, as far as like from the NFC, for example, in this situation. And the other part is that without the 18 games, if you're not a part of the AFC and a part of a division rivalry with that particular team, without the extra two games, most likely they wouldn't have been on your schedule anyway.
No, you're exactly right, you know. And then you look at that and you say, okay, let's compare the Patriots to, we'll stay in the division. You compare the Patriots to the Dolphins. So the Dolphins are expected not to have, you know, a very good season this year. So if you have your stars, do you rest them, you know, the two games in the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, the end of the year? You know, how do you go about doing that? And then, you know, think about this. Is that mandatory? Players can only play 16 games, or can they play 18, you know, if they have some sort of a waiver or something like that? I mean, there's so many things that go into what was just casually put out that it's like, this isn't even the NFL. Like, I don't know what we're talking about at all. This is craziness. And then you look at, you know, like, look at from a fantasy football perspective. You know, I know that that has nothing to do with the league, but that is a lot of money. And it's like, what in the world are we talking about? So long story short, you're right. This is not going to happen for a while. I mean, you know, after this CBA, game on. You're right. They're going to look at it for real. But, I mean, right now.
But I would love it. Actually like the idea because it also causes, you know, and I know general managers and especially of teams that have never made a Super Bowl are going to be probably panicking because they can't get it right with the way the system is set up now. And then you have to throw in the mix of having to juggle what players sit, when they sit, who's going to be our extra quarterback because we can't seem to find one, so much less two. So, you know, for those franchises that have been challenged as far as personnel anyway, they're going to be more so. I'll give you a good example, though. First of all, it's change, and so people are going to be against it immediately. But if it means that we go from four to two preseason games to get these extra two regular season games, thumb up. But remember, there was a day in Major League Baseball where you would have a four-man rotation as far as starting pitchers. So say, for example, the Dodgers, they come to Atlanta once a year, right? And you're a big fan of Clayton Kershaw. You want to see a future Hall of Famer, and Clayton Kershaw is your guy. But guess what? He just pitched the last game for the Dodgers. So when the Dodgers come and their only visit to Atlanta, guess what? He won't be playing. So we're already used to that in other sports anyway. The NBA's got a huge problem with the fact that now that's why they're entertaining the idea of reducing their number of regular season games because so many folks are sitting out. will it require teams to think more and figure out how to make this work? Absolutely. But I'm not against it. I think that it's an exciting way to add some extra juice there to the league.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm with you. I'm not against it at all. Now, they're going to have to figure out how to go about it. And, you know, the sitting versus starting, I mean, that's a whole nother type of thing. Then you're looking at quarterbacks. You've got to have an even better backup quarterback. I mean, there's so many that goes into it. But I'm with you in the sense of, you know, if players are going to sit, you have to figure that out because you're right. Look at the NBA alone. Like, if you are, you know, your example with Clayton Kershaw is the same thing. If the Warriors come to town or the Lakers and you want to go see LeBron James or Steph Curry and those guys are sitting, it's like that devalues the tickets. And then you have people that pay premium prices for those tickets expecting to see those people, those players, and then they don't get to see them. Now it leaves a sour taste in their mouth. That might be the only NBA game that they can go to for years. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. But I'm with you in the sense of it seems like we're going to get to 18 games at some point. And if it's handled correctly, especially with the NFLPA, that means players should get more money. I don't, you know, you still have to work out, you know, the economies of scale because if you add more players to a roster, that's still a pool of a salary cap money. So people might actually get less. There's a lot that goes into it. But if it's going to go to 18 games, figure out to do it right because the one thing that we all love is this. The NFL schedule right now is absolutely perfect, and especially the playoff system. The NFL has the most perfect playoff system right now. So they have to figure out a way to keep that status quo because if you start changing it, records, you know, look at baseball. You look at, you know, the record books, they seem to not make sense every 20 years, right? So they have to figure out a way to kind of keep the balance there a little bit as much as you can. But there's too much money. I mean, at the end of the day, you're right. There's so much money in TV, you know, broadcasting these games that the NFL is going to do it. They're going to make their money however they can.
Now, the players as a whole, you know, the group will make more money. Your superstars and all that won't because they're, once again, they're limited to 16 games. So, but what I like about this, and I use this analogy, because let's just say, look at the folks coming out of high school making the transition to the college ranks. What if I told you only 5 stars or 4 stars out of high school can actually play college football? And I bring this up because of the fact that look how much talent, the no stars, the 1 stars, 2 stars, whatever, that emerge and become first-round draft picks when their playing days are over in the college ranks. The same thing applies as these players make the transition from college to the NFL. Some are ready to be superstars week one of their rookie campaigns. Others, it takes time for them to grow and develop and adjust to the new league, for example, in this next step up that ladder. This will be an opportunity for them. Because there's one thing about being on a practice squad. You're not going to – there's a huge difference of having experience practicing and having experience actually in a game that counts. And so with the sense that you'll be adding additional roster spots, you have the potential then to be able to develop these players not just on a practice squad but actually on a real roster. And who knows? The potential is there for more starters, more stars, more superstars developing over 3 or 4 years that we may never hear about them at the NFL level because they never had a chance to adjust from the college ranks to the NFL.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Now, with that point, there are two sides to it. So you're exactly right. It's going to give more people opportunities, you know, not only to play, to, you know, have a career, but to make some money. And I think we're all for that. Everyone would be. However, the other side to that is this, and this is the problem that, you know, I don't care what the AAF did, which seemingly by the day it seems like they were ran, you know, by a Nigerian scammer, you know, sending emails, and then you look at...
Those aren't really true? I have a dead relative that left me billions of dollars?
The prince's family. Yeah, you're actually part of the prince's family. So I would totally reply to that email. You're exactly... with your social security number. You should totally do that. Trust it. But you look at the XFL, like, look at both of them. The biggest problem is that there just aren't a lot of people that can play in this league and they can play football at a high level. Now, you're going to have wide receivers. You're going to have cornerbacks. You're going to have safeties because those players come in bunches. There's a lot of them, you know, that can seemingly play those positions. There aren't at quarterback. There aren't at defensive tackle. There aren't at left tackle, even right tackle. There are not that many people on the planet that are built to play that position. So, you know, does the game get degraded in terms of the talent level if when else play in those other two games? You know, who knows, you know, but you're talking about 64 games additionally with players like that. It's an interesting question. So, there's so much that goes into it. That's why, you know, to bring it all back and you know, in this answer that was, you know, seemingly too long anyway, there's just so much that goes into it. There's no way they're going to get this done. So, no way.
Do you get tired at this point of the year, you, when we get players, whether it's Duke Johnson or Melvin Gordon, you know, give me a deal or I want to be traded? Does that wear thin in, from your side?
Yeah, it's a good question. No, it doesn't, because I understand it, especially at a running back position. You know, you only have so many years, especially at running back. And you only have years, you know, NFL players as a whole. And I'll say this, you know, yeah, it leaves the Chargers in a tough spot with Melvin Gordon. But you know what? The NFL leaves NFLPA in a tough spot every time they hammer out one of these CBAs. So, you know, play your leverage when you have it. And Melvin Gordon has it right now. He's a good running back. And you know what? If the Chargers don't want to pay him, that's a free market economy. They can choose not to pay him and let him walk, you know, after this year, not option his fifth year. Let him do it somewhere else. But I don't get upset with players. You know, I get it. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but this is a dirty game in terms of negotiations. And NFL owners do a lot of, you know, they play a lot of dirty games too. So you just kind of have to do it and hope for the best for everybody.
Hey, by the way, you were throwing out the fact that, and we were talking about the fact that some teams only have, they don't even have one quarterback. Where are they going to find two? I think with the trend that we're seeing first-year players in the college ranks, in some cases, you know, redshirt freshmen, whatever, taking over the reins of these offenses. So you're seeing a lot more players with playing time and experience under their belts when they're draft eligible. And, I mean, a good example, looking ahead to next year's draft, I mean, if you need a quarterback and you know there's going to be a Tua Tagovailoa probably, or Justin Herbert from Oregon, or Jacob Eason from Washington, or Jake Fromm from the Bulldogs of Georgia, even a Jalen Hurts. I mean, I think we're seeing the trend now where you have a lot more quarterbacks in those kind of positions with playing time under their belts. It's not like the old days where they have to sit around on campus for a couple of years, and then they get a chance to back up in year three, and then finally they start in their last year before they are then available for the draft. We're seeing players coming from the high school ranks to the college ranks and taking over sooner rather than later in a lot of these campuses.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right there. Excuse me. You're definitely right. You know, players are getting a lot more, you know, playing time. Yeah, and you nailed it. You know, I mean, there was a time where freshmen legally couldn't play, you know. So these guys are getting a lot more playing time. They're getting a lot more ready. And look at the NFL. You look at a lot of head coaches, you look at a lot of teams, you know, they run a lot more spread-based offenses because a lot of them have realized that, you know, what we were talking about with quarterbacks and offensive line, those are the two hardest positions to fill. Well, you know what? If you're running something completely different than they know, than they've ever seen, yeah, you're going to make yourself even more difficult. So if you can build in some spread tendencies, you know, you don't have to run a full one, but, you know, give them something that they're comfortable with, you're going to open up your pool of offensive line, of quarterbacks, receivers that know how to play in this system. So that's why I think, you know, a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, you know, he's going to have a chance to make it work because guys know what he's doing. And you're right, there's a lot more players, you know, that are ready to go. But let's be honest, the NFL is tough. I mean, the NFL is hard. Defensive coordinators can figure you out. It's difficult. It's very, very difficult. But if you have a bigger pool to choose from, it's always better for everybody.
That's why, you know, we look at Patrick Mahomes. He's in his third year with Kansas City, but only second year as a starter. I go back to remember how great Vince Young was early in his career with the Tennessee Titans. And then all of a sudden the opposing team's defense has caught up real quick and how to stop him and slow him down. But, you know, it's amazing we start throwing these names at Baker Mayfield starting immediately, Marcus Mariota starting immediately with the Titans, and expect the same thing with Kyler Murray this year with Arizona. But Patrick Mahomes, he got to hold the clipboard for his first year there with the Chiefs.
Yeah, he definitely did. You know, he absolutely did. And, you know, he got to sit behind, what, Alex Smith? Mahomes fell into a perfect situation to where you have somebody like Andy Reid, who's veteran, you know, and knows what he's doing, and he got to learn, and he's in an offense that fits him perfectly, and that has so much to do with it, too. But, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, we've got some good young quarterbacks, but there's some good defensive coordinators in this league, you know, and if somebody can figure out Vince Young, I mean, let's be honest. Let's go back to Vince Young at Texas. Take the Rose Bowl game out of it, which arguably anybody that's 35 and younger, that's probably the greatest college football game we've ever seen. And Vince Young was just magic. But people figured him out. People figured out what he does. And, you know, he didn't really, you know, have the work ethic, you know, to bounce above that. But it's tough. This is a hard league. People, you know, study a lot of tape. They figure you out. So that's the fun part. What do we see out of Baker Mayfield this year? What do we see out of Kyler Murray next year? What do we see with Lamar Jackson, with the Ravens? You know, can they acclimate it? It's a fun league with a lot of young players, and that's what makes it so exciting.
What they need to do is basically take you as an example. I mean, just when they think that, you know, for those who are trying to duplicate your success, you know, covering the NFL, they don't realize that you're not playing checkers, you're playing chess. You've already adapted. You're already moving forward. So just when they think that they have you figured out, you're already one or two or three or four steps ahead of them. So that's the way you've got to be thinking down the road. You can't be thinking about, okay, if I do just enough, then I'll be equal where he is. They don't realize that you're constantly moving and shaking and improving day in and day out.
Well, I'll tell you this. First off, checks in the mail for that compliment. I should appreciate it. And second off, I'm just happy that I could spell the word chess. So I'm going to go ahead and stop it right there.